Hello and welcome to another episode of Last Week in Quantum. I'm your host, Brandon Dennis. This is the show where we review the week's news in the world of quantum computing and its impacts on cybersecurity, AI, and more. And with us to discuss it is co-founder and CSO at QSecure, Dr. Garrison Buss. Welcome, Garrison.
Thanks, Brandon. Happy to be here.
Right. In today's episodes, we'll cover a new quantum competition from Google, preparing for post-quantum cyber threats, and the U.S. Navy's recent quantum testing. Let's get started. First article out of NewScientist.com, Google and XPRIZE are joining forces for an exciting $5 million competition to uncover practical uses of quantum computers. This could be a game changer that brings theoretical speed-ups into everyday applications. The challenge is all about sparking innovation, and researchers are invited to craft new quantum algorithms for societal good or use existing ones in uncharted territory. Garrison, I'd love your thoughts. How do you think the integration of practical quantum computing applications could impact everyday technology in society?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really exciting that quantum information sciences and quantum computing are really starting to be something that are coming into the forefront of the conversation for cutting-edge technology, and especially with this XPRIZE award. I also think it's telling, right, that we're looking for these breakthrough applications still, right? Everyone who's at least a little bit in the quantum community knows the promise of quantum computing and how powerful, right, it's slated to be. And it's juxtaposed with this idea that we're putting forward a competition, right, to look through, well, hey, what's the killer app for these things? And I think, you know, we already know a couple, right? And because we focus on cybersecurity, obviously Shor's algorithm, the ability to factor large numbers is something that's well known that quantum computers will be good at. And we're looking to extend that capability, as you're mentioning, right, into the realm of helping businesses, right, make money and improve their outcomes by looking at, right, really complex problems that quantum computers can solve. So these are problems like optimization, right? So if you're familiar with the traveling salesman problem, that's something that quantum computers are able to very quickly deduce, right, the optimal path, as well as risk analysis, right? So if you're looking at things that have multiple overlapping variables, right, that's what a lot of folks are foreseeing for quantum computing to be able to tackle, right? It's these really complicated things, because we've seen breakthroughs already in material sciences and some optimization problems. And I think folks are continuing to push on those, but to really bring it into the realm of generally useful quantum computing, right? I think we're going to see, again, most of that happening for optimization risk analysis, but maybe XPRIZE will surprise us and give us something that we didn't even anticipate.
That's great, Garrison. Thank you. Quick reminder, everyone, you can find the links to all the articles mentioned today in the show notes. If you want weekly quantum updates, subscribe to our YouTube channel and podcasts on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. Next up, we have a report from SDX Central. The article is titled "Assessing the Post-Quantum Threat: 3 Tips to Be Ready." This article talks about how the looming post-quantum threat urges organizations to adopt post-quantum cryptographic algorithms and engage in proactive measures to ensure data security. Garrison, this one is your specialty. In your opinion, are industries and governments prepared to transition to post-quantum cryptography?
Yeah, I think it's interesting sitting at the nexus of everything as the strategy officer for QSecure. I would say by and large, right, folks in enterprise and in government are not yet ready to undertake this frankly massive endeavor, right? And if you even look at the self-reporting from these folks, it's overly apparent that we are unprepared. There was a study by Moody's Analytics, I think last year, that surveyed a bunch of FSI sector folks, and they were all saying, 80% plus, hey, we're unprepared for this transition to post-quantum cryptography. And that's that's concerning, especially when paired with the second question, which is, do you foresee the need to actually make this transition in the next 2 to 5 years? And they, again, at an over 80% level, said, yes, we foresee the need. And now, right, that's the next 1 to 4 years. And building on that, I think folks who have been around for a couple of these cryptographic upgrades, right? So if we're talking, you know, protocol-based, right, TLS 1.2 to 1.3, or even just general networking, right, IPv4 to V6, it takes a really long time to unstick folks from their current infrastructure and move them, right, onto something new. And in this case, right, it's not just, a certain, algorithm that is being compromised. It's any asymmetric cryptography today will need to be upgraded or augmented to get rid of this threat, or at least stem the tide for this threat. Even further, right, the complex with the fact that you can steal this data today and then just sit on it until a later point in time, which you have a relevant quantum computer or technique to open up that data and expose it, right? If that data has a really long shelf life, it could still be valuable, right? 5-10 years in the future, right? These are the kinds of things that we think about all of the time. And I think for enterprises, they see this threat as, you know, far off. I'm going to wait for standardization, kind of at the peril of thinking about, okay, well, if my data was stolen today and decrypted later, what would that mean? And should I be acting now to prepare, right, to be able to flip the switch when there's standards, right, if that's what needs to be waited for, or even in advance of the standards, right, to protect yourselves today with something that can augment what you have in terms of your current encryption, such that you don't need to, again, disrupt what you have, right, take that out, but really kind of ensure that you have an additional layer of encryption that you can use to protect against this quantum threat.
Very well said. Thanks, Garrison. Mm-hmm. Let's wrap it up here. Our final article comes from Defense One. I see the Navy is trying to use quantum computers to task spy satellites. The article talks about how the Navy is experimenting with technologies to solve complex problems. And you know, we've made some great strides in the public sector and the private sector as well. It's very well known that other countries are outpacing the U.S. on funding quantum. I'd really like to get your thoughts on that, Garrison.
Yeah, I mean, U.S. Definitely has a number of initiatives, right? We've dedicated billions to quantum information sciences, QIS. And that's broadly, right, everything that basically has quantum in the name, right, quantum sensing, quantum computing, and quantum networking, right, and inclusive of post-quantum security, which is what we do. And, it sounds like a lot of money, right, $1.2 billion it was allocated, and it is, but at the same time, right, we are also being outpaced. And so part of that comes from, you know, here in the U.S., we have kind of two ways, right, of bringing things to market. One, right, is through federal investment, right? This comes in the form of grants, kind of like what's been already dedicated, but also, right, procurement from the government. So too, right, we have investment from the private sector, right? We have a lot of great VC investment as well as, you know, other forms of investment that can help to bring these technologies to market more quickly. And I think that really being able to synergize those two things together, right, and helping to bring, right, the best of the private sector to the government and vice versa, is something that the government has really been taking a more active role in, right? So if you look at the SBIR program, that allows the government to more readily interact with smaller companies such as ourselves, and indeed we've won many of these awards, so that they can get access to our technology without needing to, right, encounter and take on a lot of the compliance and other considerations that they typically need to engage in when they're going with other vendors. And so I think, from my perspective, there's a lot already being done. We certainly should be doing more, right? I think there's an acknowledgement that this really is a breakthrough technology, even if we don't quite know the breakthrough applications yet. But there is an increasing need, right, for us to get in front of this thing, right, as all of these different qubit technologies are coming out. Like if you look at IBM, IonQ, there are many new types of computers, mostly coming from the US and a couple of other places in the world as well, at least ones that we publicly know about. And we're doing a really great job at seeding, right, all of these different technologies within the quantum ecosystem, by virtue of, again, private or public investment, but making sure that these things don't just peter out, right? That we actually are able to then execute on the promise of these nascent investments, these nascent technologies, is something that we really have to pay attention to and dedicate even more funding to in the future.
Absolutely. Well, folks, that's all for today's show. I'm your host, Brandon Dennis, and with us this week has been Dr. Garrison Buss. Thanks, Garrison.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Brandon.
Great. We'll see you next week on Last Week in Quantum.